before I share sponsors and we play the recordings, would you be so kind and share about your church, your location, and your times of service?
Yes. We are Cheyenne Pentecostal Holiness Church. We're on, we're at 112 South 2nd Street, which is on the corner of Clay and 2nd Street. If you're not familiar with where that's at, Martin's Trading Post is on the main street there. And we are just south of that, one block south. We're a little white church with a brown trim. We have Wednesday night at 6, prayer meeting and Bible study. And then Sunday morning at 10 o'clock is Sunday school, and regular service starts at 11. So that's our church and our service times.
Okay. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott is an awesome man of God. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here in the Promise Center in Elk City. The Refuge Church, located at 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. If you do not have a home church, I really want to encourage you. First of all, I want to tell you there's no excuse. Your excuses are done. You can check them out on Facebook. You can get a feel, and then go visit in person until the Lord tells you, welcome home, child. Welcome home. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We will be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln wants your service business no matter what. This is Rhett McAbee, Service Director at Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City. At Barber Dyson, we want your parts and service business no matter what you're driving, no matter where you bought it. Bottom line, we want your parts and service business. We hang our hat on service with world-class service riders, factory-trained technicians, and knowledgeable parts staff. Give us a shot today at Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln in Elk City.
Experience the difference, Barber Dyson Ford's where you save.
Let us pray.
That was super fast. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Tim Patterson. His title for today, let me pick my feet up, from whining to worship.
Thank you. I'll just conclude a little bit of this with just understanding what it is to be able to. I mean, we can think through. I mean, when we look at the book of Habakkuk, it's such a small book, and it's really, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes it's easy to skip over those minor prophets. They're not minor because they're not important. It's just they tend to be collected together. They're not as long as what Isaiah or, you know, but these are important books. One of these days, I mean, I don't. When I get to heaven, I don't want Nahum to come up and be like, I'm Nahum, and me be like, who? You know, I want him to know I at least read his book at least once, you know. But when we look at Habakkuk, Habakkuk's mindset and his response is not uncommon. It's really rather common throughout Scripture that this is a natural. This is something that we see often in the lives of believers coming to a crisis of faith moment. I mean, in essence, Habakkuk is like a very, 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 very short and condensed version of the book of Job, in a little bit of a reality, you know, because Job had plenty of complaints and he had plenty of people telling him everything he was doing wrong, and Job had a hard road. I mean, everything he loved, everything he had was taken away. I mean, the only thing he had left, somebody's like, the only thing he had left in this world was his nagging wife. And I want to tell him, you know what? I'm just saying, give Job's wife a break. She lost everything too. You know, we focus on Job, but she lost everything too. She lost her kids. She lost her well-being. And then she's seeing her husband go through hell. I mean, he's sick. He's got boils all over him. She was tired of seeing him suffer. Give her a break, y'all. You know, because let's just be honest. If we were in those shoes, we would probably be saying the same thing. But you got to love Job's response. Woman, you speak like one of those foolish women. Don't you remember who God is? And it wasn't that he was necessarily demeaning her. He was just saying, wait a minute, honey. We got to remember who God is. And in the midst of his pain, men, let me say this. Sometimes when we're in the midst of our pain and our hurting and our own self-doubts, we still have a responsibility to be the priest of our home and stand strong for our wife and our children and to strengthen them in their faith. Even though we have our questions, that doesn't mean we go around like nothing's wrong. Don't do that. You're not a robot. Let your children see that you are human, but let them see your faith be what carries you through. And that was Job's heart. Job was in a place where if anybody had a reason to whine, he could whine. And he did some whining. He really did. He said, you know, he had plenty of things to say. And God listened to a lot of Job's whining and a lot of his friends and their correction that wasn't very good and their input that wasn't really scriptural or godly at all. And they were terrible comforters. They were supposed to be comforting Job, and they were not very good at it. And God listens to all of this, but about, what is it, chapter 38, God shows up and God speaks and says, Job, where were you when I did this? You know, goes down this list. And Job's finally at the end, Job's like, you know, God, you're right. So Habakkuk's in the same boat. And can you imagine? I don't know. I like to think in pictures, and allow me to be a little creative here. But let's just say Habakkuk walks through the gates and Job's there. And Habakkuk and Job meet up. And Job's like, man, you wrote it shorter than I did, but we went through some of the same stuff. We had the same questions. But in the end, guess what? God's still worthy. God's still worthy. And they rejoiced in their God, and God blessed, and God moved. And what a privilege that is that we get to see that. And one of these days, you know, a lot of times we think about, man, I can't wait to meet John and hear about everything he went through and hear about how, you know, he was the only one that died of old age, even though they tried to kill him. They put him in boiling hot oil, but he didn't die. God miraculously delivered him, and he ends up on the Isle of Patmos. And even in his lonely state, all by himself, on the Isle of Patmos, what's the Bible say in the book of Revelation? He says, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You know how you're going to get through hard times? Trusting in God and living in the Spirit, understanding that it is His mercy, His grace, that Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that will quicken our mortal bodies. And so when we understand that, it is no wonder that we can say, I'm going to walk right out of this valley, lift my hands, and praise the Lord. It's no wonder that we can say, that Paul could say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's not, when we think about John, we think, man, I can't wait to see and talk to them about what it was like to live in that time and how they went through persecution and how they lived for God even in the middle of all that they were going through. But do you ever think about the flip side of that coin? When Paul, when you walk through the gates of heaven and Paul sees you and he says, hey, that's one of them. They lived in the end times. They lived in the last days. They lived in a time where, you know, they were almost parallel to us in the wickedness that they, but they survived. They trusted God and they maintained their joy. They kept worshiping God in the middle of it all. Let's think about something that's probably on all of our minds and fresh on our minds, the Ukraine. Russia going into Ukraine and all of us. Ukrainian Christians, the Ukrainian church grew. It actually grew. And Ukrainian Christians were getting together on Sunday and singing songs of worship to God. You know why? Because they quit. They said, we're not going to be the Habakkuk of chapter 1. We're going to be the Habakkuk of chapter 3 that says, I'm going to rejoice in him. Though we go through all of this, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because he is the God of my salvation. He is the Lord of my strength. And he will make my feet like high. He's going to make me able to walk through all of this. He'll make me to walk upon high places. And what is the Bible? He has appointed us to set with him in heavenly places, right? I mean, this is something we have to grasp, is that we have a decision to make. We can either be whiny, and everybody knows how much people love whiny. My kids know that it is not, I don't deal with whining well. I'm like, stop it. Just stop right now. I can understand a cry. I can understand when you're hurt. I try not to squash, you know, when they're going through something. I don't want them to mean what they're going through, because what's big to them may seem like nothing to me, right? Somebody took my toy. It doesn't seem like that big a deal to me, right? But then if somebody tries to steal a steak on my plate, I'm fighting for it, right? You know, so let's put it in perspective. When it comes to, you know, whining, people tend to shut off. But God did not create us to be whiners. He created us to be warriors. And this is where it comes down to you. I mean, men, especially, I feel like I'm going to hit this vein again. Men, we've got to be warriors. We have been warriors on the sidelines for a long time, if I could quote the song. Let us be warriors on the front line. Let us go to fight for our families, for our children. Let them see you pray. Let them see you get up to the front of the church and worship God. Let them see you lift your heads. Let them see you open your Bible. Don't be afraid to do those. That is the best gift you'll ever give your children. Do not wear yourself out taking your kids to every little thing that's going on, to every ball game. We'll exhaust ourselves getting our kids involved in everything. And then we miss church on Sunday, or we miss spiritual things because we've exhausted ourselves in all those other areas. And if I could say it, that creates whiners. Because they don't know how to handle hard times when it hits, because all they know to run to is the world. Create worshipers, not whiners. And that happens by us creating an atmosphere that we have our own crisis of faith. And our children see us go through it. They see us at our worst, and they see us at our best. But a friend of mine wrote an article here a while back on why I stayed in church. His name's Andrew Gonzalez. You can get online and see AndrewGonzalez.com. It's an article he wrote. And he went through some difficult times recently. But one of the things he said, the reason I stayed in church was my children needed me to stay in church. That's one of the reasons he stayed. Now, it's helped him. But one of the reasons he stayed in church was because to, and when we get in mindset that says, I'm going to give God my worship. It's worship, not waste. Let me say this in closing. Y'all remember there was a woman that came to Jesus' feet and broke an alabaster box. And that box was about a year's worth of a salary. It was not cheap. It wasn't like she went to the dollar store and grabbed the cheapest bottle of perfume or cologne she could find. No, this was an expensive box or thing of perfume or ointment. And she broke that and put it over him. She anointed him with it. And, of course, there's a somebody who's real frugal, wet blanket in the crowd, by the name of Judas, who says, well, she could have sold this to the poor. He didn't care one bit about the poor. He just saw the price tag. Sometimes we put a price tag on our worship. We put a price tag on, well, that's going to cost me too much. That's going to, man, I'm not going to be able to sleep in that day. Or, man, I've just got this going on. I've got this going. Or I haven't got time to sit down and read my Bible with my children. I haven't got time to spend with them investing and talking about the Word of God. I haven't got time to answer questions about the Bible. You better make the time. I'm talking to myself here, so, you know, one finger pointing, you got three pointing back at you, right? I'm talking to myself. But when we get in a mindset that says, I'm going to, and that what she did, some looked at it as waste, but Jesus didn't. What did he say? He said, nobody's going to take her reward from her. He said, she'll be remembered from this day forward. It will go down in the record books. And here it is today. Over 2,000 years later, we're still talking about it. And God recognizes our worship. And what sometimes others would mark it off as waste. Some people would tell you, oh, don't worry about it. You don't need to worry about that. Just, you know, just do your own thing. You know, it's no big deal. No, if you'll make God a priority, I promise you, you'll create a legacy. My parents, thank God bless David and Debbie Patterson. If the doors were open, we were there. Cleaning work days happened at the church, we were there. Because mom and dad had this mentality. Same at the church, at the house. You eat in this house, you're going to work at this house. You're going to get from the Lord's table at this church, you're going to work at this church. That was their mentality. And thank God for it. It created a worker in me. And I'll tell you, God honored that. It was work. But I'll tell you what, God honored that worship from my mom and dad. My dad's not a preacher. He's a Sunday school superintendent, a simple man, but he's got two preachers. His two boys are pastors now. Mm-hmm. And we attribute a lot of that to our mom and our dad. Because dad taught us a couple things. Number one, dad taught us, mom and dad, both, take jobs that nobody else wants because you help other people look good. If there were dishes that needed to be done, toilets that need to scrub, who are you going to find doing it? Mom and dad. That was worship. The smallest acts of service into your church, to your fellow man, that's worship. Don't let yourself be robbed of that because you get too busy. Make the time. Invest somewhere. Because if you don't, you'll get real quick into the whining. Because you'll be so, because the, you know why he was so whiny? He was very self-centered. But by the end, it was all about God. And it's all about God's glory. We have a very, very self-centered, narcissistic society. And it's created a bunch of whiners. And a bunch of entitled individuals. And a bunch of consumers. But when we go from whining to saying, God, it's about your glory, that's worship. And that's what God deserves. And that was a little pastoral. I wasn't planning on that. But I want to encourage you, if you have a church you belong to, get involved. Volunteer. If there's a church work day, show up. Be at church. Take your children to church. Men, go to church with your families. Be the one that they see hit the altar. Be the one they see worshiping God. Sing those songs at the top of your lungs, even if you're out of tune. Let them see you worship God. Because if they see you worship, you're going to create worshipers. Because you create the atmosphere for your family, for your church, for those around you. And if you're a whiner, you're going to create whiners. But if you're a worshiper, you're going to create worshipers. God bless you.
Good word. Thank you so much for bringing that. The Lord dropped in my spirit. I just want to share this.
Go ahead.
And this is something, he just reminded me of this because this is something he told me, I don't know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. He said, don't ignore the facts. Face them right. with faith.
Yeah.
Trust in me.
Right.
Watch me move.
Right. Yeah.
And what you were teaching today, yeah. he was able to bring that back right. up to yeah. my remembrance because yes. I'm kind of going through some stuff.
Praise God.
And then he said, faith it, you will make it.
Yeah.
With me, trust that.
Right, yeah. Yes. Amen.
And then he so sweetly whispered, faithing it is different than faking it.
That's right. That's right, because faithing it, you're not ignoring what you're going through. You're recognizing I'm going through it, but I'm not going through it alone. And when you're faithing it, that's when you can start singing. And I'm not a singer, but I'm going to do this anyways.
Come on.
That's when you can start singing. Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather, standing by my side when I feel the thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world are blowing strong. Jesus, that's faithing it. Because I'm not in this alone. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for it is easy. My burden is light. What he's saying is, you're carrying this all by yourself. You yoke up with me, I'm going to help you carry it. Isn't that, that's something. That's something right there that we don't have to do. Faithing it is recognizing I am going through it, but I ain't going through it alone. Amen.
Pastor Tim, I just seen someone in a pit.
Yeah.
And they need help. I don't know who it is.
Right.
But I recognize that pit because I was in the same pit.
Yeah.
If we can close in prayer.
Absolutely.
And just ask the Lord. He knows who they are.
Right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All right. Heavenly Father, God, somebody is in a low place. Lord, sadly, sometimes we do have to hit rock bottom before we ever look up. But Lord, in your mercy and in your patience, Lord, I think somebody hit rock bottom. But Lord, today they're looking up. God, and we know that your hand is not short. And your ear is not heavy that you cannot hear, nor your arm short that you cannot save. Lord, that you're reaching for somebody. Lord, that somebody, if they'll call on you, maybe they've got a lot of questions, they've got a lot of doubts. They're where Habakkuk is in chapter 1 saying, God, I don't understand. You're not hearing me. You're not working. You're not. And they may, and that's where they're at. But God, would you just show them? God, pull them up and let them see that you are working. And it may be different than what they think. But God, that you are working and that you are in perfect control. Lord, that God, sometimes in the midst of what we're facing, when we're in this pit, it's because you're going to bring a great deliverance. And sometimes we hit this place, we hit rock bottom so that we'll remember that we have to look up. There is no other way out. When we're at a place where we're at rock bottom, there's nowhere else to go. We can't dig any deeper. Where there's no exit signs, there's nothing. It seems like we're at the end of the rope. But Lord, today you're calling somebody up, saying, "Come on up. I'm here. Reach the just shall live by faith." Habakkuk said that, Lord, and we know that your word has stated that. That the just shall live by faith. And I pray that somebody in a pit today, Lord, would call on you. And Lord, some also, that person that's in a pit, Jeremiah was in a pit, Lord, the prophet. And there were some men that went to where he was in that pit, that mucky, miry pit, that cistern that couldn't hold water. It was just a mud pit now. And they bound some rags together and they lowered it down and he tied it around himself. And some men of faith pulled him up and brought him up out of that mire. I pray send somebody to help somebody get out of that pit. Send somebody that can throw the scarlet thread down the pit where somebody is and pull them up, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from my grandson, Ethan, and from Pastor Tim Patterson. Y'all have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
God bless.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.